today we're talking about Movember and men's health. The idea of Movember was sparked in 2003 when two mates met up for quiet beer in Melbourne, Australia. The moustache had all but disappeared from fashion trends. However, Travis Garon and Luke Slattery found 30 guys willing to take up the challenge, and Movember was born. Now with over 5 million supporters worldwide, the movement encourages conversations about men's health issues, which includes prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's suicide, and also raises money to support innovative men's health projects across more than 20 countries. And joining me today to join in the discussion are Evan Beswick, Head of Primary Care for Argyll & Bute's Health and Social Care Partnership, Craig McNally, Argyll & Bute, Argyll Alcohol and Drug Partnership Coordinator, and Dave Burton, who previously worked in Argyll & Bute, but hasn't managed to totally escape and is joining us to take part in the conversation. And it's a good one. Here they are.
So I'm joined by Evan, Craig and Dave for this issue, and I'm going to get you each to introduce yourself and just say what it is that of how you're involved in with Argyll & Bute and men's health. So Evan, if you can say who you are, what your job is and how that relates to start us off.
Sure. Hi, I'm Evan Beswick. I'm Head of Primary Care for Argyll & Bute Health and Social Care Partnership. So my work covers a lot of the preventative elements of particularly healthcare that are really important for around people keeping well. So general practice, dental, sexual health, and then some of the services in and around primary care, like first contact physiotherapy and mental health workers. So I've got very much a professional interest in this, but also a kind of personal interest. I'm someone who likes to keep active and somebody for whom, getting out and moving is key to me maintaining my mental health. So it's something very close to my heart.
Lovely. Thanks, Craig.
Hi, I'm Craig McNally. I'm the Alcohol and Drug Partnership Coordinator in Argyll & Bute. I've been in this role for around 7 years now, I think. But prior to that, I was a health improvement specialist for alcohol and drugs in Argyll & Bute. So I've been working in this locality for the last 17 years almost. My interest around men's health, apart from the obvious, has been piqued in recent years when my health has become less than at its best, shall I say, and I've become more aware of how easily impacted I could be by issues that can affect men of all ages. That's my personal input, and I'm happy to expand on that later if we get the opportunity.
Great, thanks, Craig. And Dave.
Hi, yeah, I'm Dave Burton. Basically worked in Argyll about 28 years, basically in mental health, mainly community mental health. So kind of saw the transition in mental health services from being very much about hospitals and buildings into more community stuff. And as part of that, I kind of worked and trained as a CBT therapist. And then one of the big things I was involved in Argyll & Bute for about 12 years was Choose Life, which was a suicide prevention campaign. And although I have allegedly retired, I still seem to be involved in that field. I don't seem to be able to escape from it. Something I feel very strongly, passionately about. And then kind of as I kind of left the NHS, I fell into doing stuff with people with long-term health conditions, things like COPD and after stroke, heart attack, and promoting self-management. And that was really quite interesting because it got me into working with people, and I was really inspired by how people would actually have really challenging health conditions. And it was mainly men I worked with, but actually just were good fun and were just getting on with life. And I think that's something about the secret of living with health issues is actually realizing they don't have to dominate every aspect of your life. And I found that very inspiring. I've moved from Agayo now, and I miss the event an awful lot, but still have strong links with it. And my son runs the farm on Ulva, which most people in central Scotland have no idea where it is.
One of our many islands that's doing great things. That's it's good that we've kept a little tether to you, Dave, and the work that you do. Craig, I think you took on the short straw when we were just planning this to say if people have managed to miss it, and it's quite difficult these days, a little bit more about what Movember is all about, which is why we're doing this right now.
Yes, yeah, I'll repeat what I was saying in our brief discussion earlier, that Movember is, from the little I know about it, is an opportunity for a focus on men's health, and has taken the angle to use, as a phrase I used earlier, that the one thing that men seem to be better at, which is growing facial hair, to be the catalyst for opening up the discussion. And I've known several people who have gone down the route of growing their facial hair for Movember, and I'm pretty sure it gave them the opportunity to increase their awareness of their own and other men's health and have those conversations. So yeah, from the small amount that I can say, Movember seems to be a great conversation starter.
Yeah, I
agree. That's a part of it, isn't it, Dave? You were talking about that before.
Yeah, I think it's a classic kind of guy thing, that it's a bit of fun, and it's something that also just allows. I think men often need an excuse or a prompt to talk about health, anything. You know, I mean, I'm saying earlier about mental health, but all aspects of health sometimes are quite challenging for men to talk about. So that I saw this happen just the other day with someone who's doing Movember with this massage that was pretty strange looking, and what it prompted was somebody saying, "Why are you growing that?" Apologies for the phone. "Why are you growing that?" And what it actually meant was that, you know, that could start the conversation. And although the topics in Movember are quite specific, but it's just as a general issue. It allows people just to talk. And I think I also think men enjoy doing something that's quite collective. So, you know, you see teams of rugby players with dodgy moustaches and the like. It's everyone together, which is, I think, a bit of a guy thing.
Yeah. Helps a lot. And I mean, Evan, what, from your point of view, you're professionally primary care, you know, just why is it important to kind of get those conversations?
I mean it's been really interesting for me as well, because I've been aware of Movember for a number of years. I think it kicked off when I was sort of in my university days, so as you can imagine there were some abysmal attempts around then. And it's probably worth noting that as a group, I think collectively we're covering the full spectrum. You can't see us on audio, but we've got all the way from clean face to a sort of a kind of midway stubble vibe to a full beard. So I think we're covering all of our bases. So I've been aware of it for a number of years, and always been aware that it's been about men's health. And What's been interesting is particularly knowing that I was going to do this, it's been kind of re-engaging with that a little bit with the Movember campaign. And obviously professionally, I'm very involved in the health side of things. And, you know, if you are ill or feel yourself to be ill, you go to your GP and you might see a range of services there, but that's a very medical approach. And actually looking into some of the materials they have on the Movember website, what's been really, really interesting and kind of fantastic is that mostly it's not about health. It's about self-care. It's not about the medical side of things. Obviously, it started with a focus on cancer and about sort of men being aware of their bodies and changes in their bodies, which, of course, we don't like to talk about at all. But most of it's about just being aware of what makes you happy, what keeps you well-resourced, what kind of... how you kind of link to other members of your community. And that's what keeps people well and safe and keeping active as well is a really important thing. So the non-medical focus of it has been really kind of nice for me to re-engage with, because we know, like, if we think about our professions, we know strategically that we should be moving towards prevention rather than cure, and we should be focusing on wellness and assets rather than interventions, and that all feels very dry and management speak, but Movember puts it into kind of quite a real life context, I think.
Yeah, I think that importance of fun and ideally in prevention, so hopefully you minimize your chances of being into that health point, because I think, you know, Movember's always trying to get men to talk about it, but it's quite often the bit where people get worried. You know, they maybe hold back from seeking help and getting the support. And obviously getting this, if we can get people, as you say, as early on in the pipeline, so it's sort of into those lifestyle choices, that can make a big impact. Because like you were saying, David, that sort of ability to, you know, self-manage all stages is quite an important one.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with the mental health specifically, and, you know, obviously it is part of the focus of Movember is mental health and suicide prevention, but it fits for me really nicely with the whole key message in Choose Life, which is about asking people difficult questions sometimes. And if you're asking your mate how they are, you actually really mean how are you, and you want an honest answer. And I think, I suppose for me, not only being the hairy one in the group, but I think the oldest in the group by a margin, the great thing is that people now do that. And that was one of the things I've seen change over the time I've been involved, is that, you know, it used to be that nobody spoke about mental health, let alone men. And now I think generally people do. And Movember just kind of ups that a bit. It just says, you know, this is all right. You can be upset. You can be a bit tearful. And the great thing about it is, as I was talking about rugby, it's something I'm very passionate about, used to play a lot, watch a lot, as it's very, you know, seen as a very macho environment. But actually now, in that environment, people are talking about difficult stuff, which I just think is brilliant. And Movember's just obviously one of those things. It's great to see.
I mean, it has been a massive shift, hasn't it? And I mean, I suppose in a way, you know, having lived through COVID and all of that came with that, and actually the impacts that that's had on everybody's mental health of dealing with that, it's become more ubiquitous rather than seen as, you know, that's me, I won't share or talk about it. The fact that it's been seen to have a wider reach, I think, is perhaps helps to remove some of the stigma around that sort of thing and to have those conversations.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I suppose, the other thing for me is that, you know, I was saying about kind of later part of my career working with people with long-term conditions, but stating the obvious, but, you know, their mental well-being is a huge part of that as well. If you've had, you got COPD or you've had a stroke or whatever. And I think people are now making those connections. And I think men, you know, it feels like men are more open to talking, expressing their feelings, expressing their fears. But I still think we've got a long way to go. And I think the trick for me is trying to find the right place for men to have those conversations.
Yeah.
Which is maybe something we could come back to.
I'll jump in there just and say, from personal experience in recent years, the connection between stroke and mental health has become all too real for me. I had two strokes last year, and I have had in the past some issues with mental health, but and they can be challenging on their own. But in the context of health and looking at your own, recognising the impact that any health event can have on you is quite incredible. And having worked in and been qualified within the public health sphere, I know a degree of the theory behind health and, you know, changing health. And one of the things that I have become really aware of is the challenges of changing health behaviour, so health behaviour change. I know the theory behind it. Am I able to put that into practice? I won't say absolutely not. What I will say is I now have got a real understanding of the difficulties of changing behaviour. One of the things that, on a positive, one of the things that I have found most beneficial is talking to people and having them hear me and reflect back to me what they're hearing. And for the people that can't see, I did have two strokes. I had two quite full strokes, but I was really, really lucky in that I had no lasting physical impact from that. I haven't had any of the obvious signs. So for that reason, I spent the first 6 months telling everybody, I've had two strokes. Because without doing that, they would have no awareness of what has happened. And it allowed me to justify some of my thinking and my behaviours and everything else. Being able to talk about it is the key to a lot, is the absolute key to looking after our health. One more thing that I would add. When I had my first stroke, which the two of them were a few days apart, they were about 5 days apart. When I had my first stroke, it wasn't obvious. I went to my GP that day and I had had a conversation with a GP on the phone. It wasn't obvious to them. I went to my GP. They did all of the visual checks. It wasn't obvious to my GP. They sent me into the hospital and after a lengthy wait, I had a scan done, and only at that point did they spot that I'd had a stroke. Now, the reason I say that is, had I not been comfortable going to my GP, when the second one happened, I was in hospital, and had I not been, the outcome may have been significantly different. When you feel something isn't right, speak to an expert. Speak to somebody that is going to give you the right advice and guidance. And I spoke to an expert who said, I'm an expert, I still don't know. Go and speak to a better expert. Which it's important that we as men recognise that even though the instant thing that we felt has diminished slightly, it's not a case of just saying, ah, it'll go away, I'll be all right in half an hour.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for sharing, Craig, because that's such a valuable example of, yeah, as you say, going, knowing something, there's been a change, something's off and what that's potentially meant in terms of a better outcome, because you went and did that quickly, as you said, and weren't afraid to do that. I'm interested in what you were saying about you talking to people as well. Have you got any tips for anybody who's, you know, having the conversation with somebody who's been through something like you have, of, you know, what are the things to say or how to engage? Because sometimes I think people are worried about, I might say the wrong thing, so I'll say nothing.
Yeah. Don't say nothing. Say what you think is the wrong thing, because I can probably guarantee it's not the wrong thing. Just talk and listen, and, you know, particularly people that have got had a experience, and, you know, I'm aware of other people's health experiences, talking to them about it will help them, and it will help you get a better understanding. And it's a two-way thing. It is not, you're not asking somebody, if that person isn't comfortable telling you about it, they're like, you know, don't worry. So I would say definitely don't be embarrassed to ask the question or engage in the conversation. These are good conversations, and they can be funny, and, you know, they can be enjoyable conversations. It's not all doom and gloom.
No, I if I could come in there, I think that's really important what you're saying, Craig. I was involved in supporting support groups, if that's not a bad way of putting it, but it was people after a stroke, people after a heart attack, and there would be what I think a lot of people were surprised by, and I was to some extent when I first went, was the level of hilarity and carry on that would be going on within the peer group. And when you sat down, and it was primarily men's groups, you know, that was what they valued, and it was really low tech, and from a health service and social care perspective, incredibly cheap. You basically need a room and a kettle and some biscuits and a wee bit of support. But, you know, it's largely about people sitting around sharing experiences. And I think the thing I found with guys was that if you had a bit of a focus of an activity, that helped. So that, you know, the kind of men's sheds idea where guys get together in a bit of a workshop place and play about with bits of wood or old classic cars, and letting slip my hobby here, but, you know, it guys talk about stuff while they're taking a cylinder head off an engine or planing a bit of wood, and that's fine. Don't try and make it therapy or you know, healthy sort of stuff. It's just really basic stuff, and I think men, I know we've got to be careful not stereotyping here, but generally that's my experience, is men talk about quite difficult stuff. They're not looking at each other. They're not making eye contact. They're playing around with bits of wood or motorbikes or whatever, but they're chatting about important stuff. And there's often, it's two way. There can be a bit of sharing. Well, when I had my stroke, blah, 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 after my heart attack, this is what helped me. And I think people, I don't think it's just true of men. People will take it from someone who has had a similar experience to them. Because they know what it's like, because you're saying, Craig, you know what it's like because you've been there. Yeah. And as a professional, my background's in nursing, you think you know stuff, but when it happens to you, then you know it.
Yeah.
Just kind of to come in there, what's so fascinating about hearing Craig was saying about his experiences was lots of fascinating things, and the first is obviously that can sometimes feel probably a hard thing to talk about, but hearing it is not hard. I'm really grateful for somebody sharing that, and actually you want to ask questions and know more, so it's not actually an awkward thing. But the other interesting thing is obviously you got the medical help that you needed, because you sort that out, and the expertise was brought to bear. But that was such a small component of what you talked about in terms of your overall experience, and most of it wasn't that short period of of acute care. It was how you felt about it, how you were able to talk about it, and you touched on the kind of exercise element of it. And that's what I think really fascinating about this men's health agenda. Most of it is really empowering. It's about how we kind of engage with each other, how we seek out resources, how we start conversations. And there's a really interesting sort of, there's a men's health checklist from the World Health Organization, and there's five things, one of which have any relevance to sort of medicine. The others are the ones we all know about, and as Craig says, are much harder to put into action than you think. But it's about eating right, it's about getting exercise, it's about reducing alcohol, and it's about kind of that engagement. So yeah, it can sometimes seem quite a daunting agenda, but actually when you start to get into the nuts and bolts of it, it's very empowering.
Yeah. Can I commend there again and say that in terms of the behaviour change elements of it, I know that there's not a significant difference between men and women when it comes to the actions around behaviour change. But what I'm recognising is that some behaviour changes can be quite instant. And for some people, all behaviour change might be quite instant, that they respond to a need and go ahead and change. However, that's not always going to be the case. And behaviour change might take a long time to settle in, or for the action of change to take place. Mm. That doesn't mean that the motivation isn't there. That doesn't mean that the individual is choosing not to wish to be to recognize the need. I think as professionals and as supporters, whether that be family or friends or whatever, we need to give the people the support and the time that they need to change that behaviour. I'm still going through a process of change at the moment, and I know how unbelievably difficult that is. And can I tell you that some of the difficulties I am now recognising are not my own. They're my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents that have established a mindset in me that I am trying to break. So that's not an overnight behaviour change. That is a generational one. So let's give ourselves the credit to say, yes, with the right support and the right support around me, I will get it done. Don't write me off just because I haven't done it yet.
Go on, Evan, you go.
I was coming in that, and I could not agree with you more on that. And I'm somebody whom sort of being active is a really important part of my life. And I think there are people who are also active who I sometimes feel overestimate their own willpower. And we talk about behaviour changes and making the right choices quite often in moral terms and about willpower or lack of it. And it's like, it is absolutely not about willpower. It's about habit forming and having the right conditions and the right leadership and interactions. And I suppose that's both important in our lives and also in our working lives. I think we've all probably had days, probably in the past week, where we've sat at our desks from 9 to 5 and perhaps beyond and not kind of moved. And that's habit forming. That's bad habit forming. And we're kind of And we don't do that because we choose. We do that because there's kind of a context that drives us to do that. So changing the context is really important, and not being hard on ourselves when we feel like willpower is lacking, because willpower is always lacking.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting points, isn't it? I mean, obviously, I'm not a man. So, you know, the men's health aspect, but that point of sort of the, as you, I am getting older, so that point of like, we start to realise more how important it is, perhaps a little later in life than it would be ideal. But also what you say about, you know, habit forming comes in very small steps often, and you know, not always linear. And I think hopefully what people get, given your professionals in working in this area as well, is a sense that, you know, if you seek help, there will be empathy and compassion in there. This isn't about judgment or stigma or anything. Actually, there's a reality of changing this stuff is hard, and nobody's trying to judge you. People just want to give you the support and understanding around that. And I think that's probably an important message for people, as sort of about engaging. This isn't because somebody's going to come and go, I know what's best, and, you know, be all moralistic with you. And I see you all nodding at that. So I think if we can get that across to people, and that fun element, you know, it just helps to make it something easier to, and less scary to engage with. And I want to touch, you know, with that in mind, I suppose it's also picking up your point, Craig, about, you know, we're imprinted with some of our upbringing. So there's definitely something in this about how we can introduce young people to good lifestyle choices and things like that as well. That's part of this, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose I was thinking there about also, you know, this sort of motivation thing, and I'm ingrained entirely with what we're saying there about not blaming people, but it's also about creating the right environment. And I think if you take, for example, exercise or keeping moving, I was struck by this recently, just in the village that I live in, that there's a couple of exercise groups held in the village hall, and they're only attended by women. But around the corner, there's a woodland project, which is restoring some old woodlands and ponds, and it's nearly all guys. But they're digging away with shovels and cutting down trees and moving stuff. And it's mainly, you know, people who are retired. And it's a brilliant way of keeping active, just physically active.
Yeah.
And also, of course, a great way of, you know, helping your mental health and well-being and getting a sense of satisfaction. And I think that's one of the things that I'm not sure we've got quite right, is just thinking about what will support people to have a healthy lifestyle, you know. And I don't think I'm being too cynical, but, you know, generally speaking, men don't go to village exercise groups. They're going dig a hole in a muddy field and cut down some trees, because that's kind of manly. But I think because men like, well, certainly, you know, people of my age generation, you know, like doing stuff with their hands, like. But, and it's maybe just thinking a wee bit out of the box sometimes and saying, well, actually, the solution here is, you know, allotments and woods and trees and, you know, workshops and, you know, that sort of stuff.
You've got me feeling like I want to go cut down a tree now, Dave.
As long as something doesn't fall on you and you end up in A&E, that's the trick, isn't it?
I think I absolutely agree with you, Dave, that actually exercise and opportunity to engage is going to be unique to every individual. I'm not massively one for digging holes or cutting down trees, even in my own garden. But the one thing that I really wish that I could do more of again is dancing. Mm. And dancing is, you know, said that it's a great exercise. But that's just me individually. So basically, you know, what I'm saying is that we've all got ways of exercising that would work for us.
Mm.
If that's walking the dog, if that's racing the dog, if that's, you know, whatever that might be, then just recognise that although you're not going to the fitness class on a Tuesday morning or afternoon, that doesn't mean you're not, that you're switching off.
Absolutely.
Choose your thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm definitely in the dog walking camp and the dancing. So, I mean, it's fantastic to hear you all exemplifying what Movember is all about and getting the discussion going and showing that, you know, it's how easy that is. I could talk to the three of you for hours. But in wrapping up, what would you give to people as sort of one key bit of advice or somewhere where they could go and find out more information or advice for themselves? Dave, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I sometimes feel that people forget about the third sector, the voluntary sector, the charities. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, there's, we all know the pressures that are on the NHS and all that sort of stuff. And, it, you know, I suppose my personal view is that's never going to be able to do everything for us as individuals. And I think that that whole thing about finding, go places that and find people that you feel you can connect with in a sort of peer way, which is normally within the voluntary sector. Because I think that's where I've seen great benefit come from things. And I can think of groups across Argyle that I know of and I've seen develop over the years. They're very low tech. They're not run by health professionals or whatever. They're normally run by people with lived experience. That to me is where you get really good stuff. You need the techie bit too, as I would call it. But that's the, my thing.
No, great advice. Evan, what about you?
So I'm gonna just two things. I'm gonna keep in my lane and be and focus on sort of the medical side of things. And there's obviously, you know, the internet's an incredible place, but you can also find anything on the internet you like. And there's nothing more corrosive to people's health than being anxious about how they're feeling and being led down a blind alley as to all sorts of tropical diseases that you might have. So if people are feeling like something's wrong, like places like NHS 20, so NHS Inform, that's kind of accredited guidance, I would recommend people start there as a first place. And there's sections on that are about sort of self-care and sort of self-management. It's a great place to start. If you do hit your general practice, it's also worth remembering that there's more than one ways to skin a cat nowadays, and it's not just about seeing your GP, but a lot of practices in Argyll and Bute, just linking to what Dave was saying, can refer you through to a community link worker or such like that can help people engage with those groups in the community. And so it doesn't just have to be, you know, from 0 to 60 in 0 seconds. There's a lot of support there to help you engage with the stuff that that is in and around Argyll and Bute, because we do live in a really fantastic area for those sorts of community groups and sort of people that will support you to access our fantastic outdoors or our fantastic sheds. So yeah, there's support there within our system, but just kind of be wary of kind of finding stuff on the internet.
NHS Inform is the first point. Good advice, Craig.
I obviously agree with everything that's been said, but I'll bring it much closer and towards that first step. Talk to the people that are going to listen to you. They are family, they are friends. They are picking up the phone and talking to a complete stranger that is there to listen. NHS 24 and stuff like that, using these people. If you're concerned, don't ignore it. Even if it is just a wee thought, it might be nothing. It might be nothing. And it's good if you speak to somebody that's going to tell you, don't worry about that, because that stops you worrying about it. And worry in itself can be so corrosive. You know, that's... So talk to... Make that first step. And don't just talk to one person. Talk to several people and make the steps. If you can talk to... If you can talk to a family member or a friend, then you can talk to, you can work out what you need to say to a professional or to a supporter or to a group, you know, who have got similar lived experiences.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Hopefully that the three of you will have exemplified just the kind of conversations we want people to go and have. And thank you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's great to talk to you today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. Thanks, guys.
Movember aims to tackle some serious issues, but it aims to do it in a fun way. And I had more fun than I could have imagined talking to Craig, Evan and Dave about all the issues that it raises for us. And I think that just demonstrates what Movember is trying to do and how we can all start those conversations and hopefully have a positive impact. So if you are interested in finding out more, as Evan said, the best place to get health information and advice is at nhsinform.scot. And if you're also interested in checking out more about Movember, check out uk.movember.com. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Podcast.